Thank the Lord Jesus that Ibu Lucy, yeah, the member that I have known her for quite some time. Today I want to speak to you, it's just from one verse. Yeah, the verse that we have memorized earlier on. And there are two parts to this verse. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, and striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is a very important verse for us. And if we understand and willing to accept the teaching of this verse, they will be transformed. Our personal life in the Lord Jesus Christ will be transformed, and the church also will be mightily revived. So I hope to share with you these two points, and let us slowly look into it and to examine ourselves, yeah, in what ways we may need to change, that in what way we may be willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, as is being taught in this verse. Now we must understand firstly about ourselves. Every week we come to the service, and we come to this place. There's a big place for worship. But we want to consider, is our Christian life is a life with good testimony? Are we full of the Spirit, very zealous for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we more or less are just lukewarm Christians? Now the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to the Philippians. He wrote with his heart. You know, in chapter 1, he firstly tells them how he appreciates them. He tells them how he loves them. Then he tells about the people that are preaching the gospel. Some people have ulterior motive because they are jealous of the Apostle Paul. They share the gospel, but it's not for the salvation of souls. So he was very upset and also sad about the situation in some area of the Christian church. Then he tells them that the Apostle Paul tell them that actually, after he has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, after he has come to understand the truth, the reality of our life, that there is God who created the whole universe and created us, you know. And this Lord, this God, has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and made known to himself, to him, appeared to him, and now he has come to the truth, to a conviction, and to a certainty that he is walking and worshipping the true and living God. And this God is in heaven, and this God is the one that in charge of eternal life, that can give resurrection life. And this is what the Apostle Paul has been searching for. Life, you know, to live where everyone wants to live. They want to live forevermore. We want to live eternally. The Apostle Paul has found the way, the salvation. He has found the way that he can have eternal life, to live forever, even the resurrection life. So he has come to know the true and living God. And his conviction is so strong that he actually wants to leave this world. You know, he wants to stop living here. He's not at all afraid of death, because he knows for certainty the truth of life and life eternal, life in God. And he wanted actually to go as soon as possible, as fast as possible, to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to live with him. So this is the person that we must understand who wrote this letter, the book of Philippi. A lot of Christians, you know, although we come to the church, but in our hearts, they might not have this certainty of eternal life, of salvation. We might not have this longing and desire to go to be with the Lord. It is true, this is the process of sanctification. This is a process of growing up. If we come to know more of our Lord, as the Lord become more real to us, and also as we grow older, we might progress to long to desire heavenly life. But the Apostle Paul is a person that has come to the state that for him, God and eternal life is a certainty. And he really wants to go there. He really wants to go and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a person that wrote this letter to us and have good and important instruction to us. Then he tell them, I want to go. I want to go to be with the Lord. And that will be much, much better than continue in this world. This is the spirituality of the Apostle Paul. But then he considered the work of the gospel. He considered the people, the Christians, they are in the many areas, the many churches. And he considered that these people, these believers, they need his teaching, need his guidance. So he decided, for the sake of the people of God, he's willing that he is not go to be with the Lord yet, but he will live, he will stay, and continue to be with the people, so that he may teach them the truth, may encourage them, to continue to live and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are the things he wrote in the first chapter. Then he tells them, yes, I want to go, but I will remain here. Now, I want to say something to you all. I want to say something from my heart to the people in Philippi. He tells them. So what are the things he tells them? What are the things the Apostle Paul considered is important that believers must understand and follow? What are the teachings? So there are many teachings that will come, but today we'll consider only this verse. He says, only, yeah, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul is saying, we have to take a look at how we live. Now, these people might have been following the Lord Jesus Christ for a while. They have become Christian maybe for some years. How have they been living? So he said, let's take a look. Are we living as we should? Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Conversation here means our conduct, you know, our behavior, our manner of life. As Christians, how we behave in our daily life, in totality, in every aspect of our life. How are we living? How is our conversation? Now, and this is something very important for each and every one of us to consider. I will also have to take a look into my own personal life. Is my way, my manner of life comparable to my profession as a Christian? So this is the first thing each and every one of us must check this afternoon. We confess that we are Christians. You know, we'll tell people that we are Christian, we go to church. But our way of life, is it suitable, comparable, in accordance to our calling as a Christians? There are a few areas that we might have to look into. Our conversation, it has to do with ourselves. We in us, are we living as a Christians? Let's say for our speech, the way we communicate, yeah, the way we talk to people, is the manner of our speech, of our talking to people, does it reflect that we are people of God? Does it comparable to our calling as a Christians? You know, some people, when they talk to other people, you know, the attitude is to undermine. In our speech, the other part will feel that we are not respecting them. We talk in a way, we talk down to them. People felt humiliated from the way we talk to them. So are we talking also in this way? Now, as a Christians, if our manner of speaking to others is such, will people think that we are living in accordance to our confession as a believer? So, brethren, let's check how we communicate with others, our manner of speech. We should be gracious. You know, every morning, when we wake up, we know today we're going to meet a lot of people. We're going to talk to a lot of people. You know, some are our superior maybe. Some might be our subordinates, people that are working under us. We must tell the Lord, help me today. I'm a Christian. Help me to be gracious. You know, our mouth. Help us when we talk to people. People will see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is one area in relation to ourselves, we must take a look. Is our speech, our way of communication comparable? Yeah? In accordance, becometh of the gospel of Christ. Yesterday I was in a bus, in a church van. So a few Christians sitting inside there. So they talk, they started talking Teochew, you know. Ah. Some of the words they speak in Teochew is very dirty. Hey, Pastor, do you understand? I don't want to reply him. Of course I understand, I speak Teochew. But some people, Christians also, when they speak, because they think it's a fun, you know, or jokingly, so all the words come up, it's very jorok, dirty. This is not comparable to our calling as Christians. Our mouth must be clean. You know, all those dirty words should not be spoken. So this is one area that in reference to ourselves, let's think, what is your plan of living? How do you plan your life? You must consider, my plan for my life, is this comparable to my calling as a Christian? In your plan, is God has a place. Your future is like what? Does it reflect your understanding of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing. Your style of life, style of living, very good. I'm not against people dying a little bit here. Some people, some pastor might not agree at all, no? No dying. But I think some of the ladies, if they want to do a little bit brownies, should not be that big problem. Right? But will it be okay if a pastor's wife do this become yellow? Will it be okay or not? So I have someone asking me, Kentoro, my friend, I will be back to Singapore in certain month. Can I go to your church to preach or not? Please reply. This priest reply that made me a little bit uncomfortable. Must priest reply, you know? Okay. Then I take a look. I take a look at the family, at the wives, all yellow here. So I say cannot, because I do not want to come and then bring the wife with yellow hair here, the pastor's wife. Because some people cannot accept that. They cannot accept that. So in our style of living also, we have to consider, is it becometh or not of the calling of us as a people of God? People of God, that should not be so fashionable, no? The heart is just love after the world. What's happening in the world, I just love it. That is not comparable to our call as believer. I got to consider, what is our entertainment? Is my entertainment suitable to my calling as a Christian? Do you go for clubbing? Go to club. I'm not talking about country club. I'm talking about wine club. Evening there, we go there, sit there around, take one or two drinks, you know, in a kind of shadowy area. Let's say, if we meet someone there, do we dare to say that I'm a Christian? The kind of places. Our style of living, we have to consider, is it comparable or not to our calling as a believer? We are in the world, but not everything in this world is suitable for us. This is the thing we must realize. You know? Everything we must consider, is it suitable for me as a Christian? If not suitable, then we should not be there. So our conversation in reference to ourselves, we have to take a look. And then in reference to our family, my family life, I'm a Christian, but is my family life reflecting my belief in the true God? Is my family life suitable, yeah, for a person that has come to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? My family life, how is it? Do I still beat my wife? Do you think Christians don't beat your wife? You just don't believe it. In my early days, when I just started out to serve in 1990, I was posted to a very little town, no? Called Kijang. Little town. Only 3 main roads only. Yeah, the church is small church. Yeah, maybe just about 10 families. Then I have one family. The husband is not a butcher, but he sells pork in the market, selling pork. Then about 11 o'clock, the business is done. Then what will he do? He will go and drink. After drinking, he go back and beat the wife. Christian family. Then the people will come and tell me, then I will go to the home. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? Some Christian, they beat their family, they beat their wife, they beat their children. This is not becometh of the gospel of Christ. So if we still have this problem, we got to repent. We have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to change us, to forgive us, and to give us the grace, you know, to control, to have self-control, and not to go into this violence. My family life, if I take a look, is it comparable to my calling as a Christian? The way I live my family life, do I feel ashamed if people come to know that and know that I'm a Christian? Are we faithful? There should be no extramarital affair. There should be no. Yeah, there should be no extramarital affair. But it happened also to Christians. You know, it happens. This way, we must check ourselves. If we are in this kind of relationship, that is time we must stop and think. Am I continue like this again? I want to continue until when? It's time we must stop and repent and seek for forgiveness. Family life. In reference to our work, you know, in our way of doing business, in our workplace, the way I deal with my work, does it comparable to my calling as a Christian? If we have workers, do we pay them salary in time? We must consider. Or we always try, yeah, to make use of our workers and to deprive them of certain benefits that should belong to them, knowingly doing it. Now we must consider. How are our working with people? Our relationship with the church? As a member in the church, our attitude, our behavior in the church, does it reflect that we are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. To the leaders of the church that the Lord has ordained, that the Lord has brought up to lead us, do we submit to the authority? Do we submit to their teaching? Do we always willing to participate in the church work, in the church program? Or we are someone that always want to go against the church? 2 weeks ago, we have session elections in Batam. And I always encourage the people, we must support the leaders. We must give them the mandate. You know, how can we expect people to serve as pastor, as deacons, and they are elected on a simple majority of 55%? How to serve? Serve you knowing you 45% do want you to be here. How to serve? Right now. And service in the church is not employment, no? We do not pay them to serve as your deacon. So we must give them the mandate, tell them we love, we want you to serve, to be the minister in the church. Give them good support. I always encourage them. Then, after all the vote collected, right? Then I noticed one piece of paper completely blank. This person just doesn't want to elect anybody in the church. All the name listed there, he just doesn't want to vote for anybody. Everyone to him or to her, I do not know, is just not qualified. I don't want any of you. So he or she put the paper back, you know, the form. He doesn't want to vote anybody, just put it back. Put it back to let you know, hey, I'm voting, but I don't want to vote any of you. And this kind of attitude. I don't know which one, which member do that. But it kind of sad, you know. Even one piece of paper come back like this, we feel sad. We have a member, they are worshiping the church from Sunday to Sunday, or maybe year to year, but his or her heart is not happy completely with the church, not happy with any leaders in the church, so he or she refused to vote anybody. We have members like this. But is kind of attitude comparable to our calling as a believers? Now, so brethren, you are members of the church. Get a check. Your heart attitude towards this church, towards the leaders, towards the programs. Are we in support or we always not happy? We always find problem. We always want to badmouth the church. Have to check. Check our attitude. Is it comparable or not? As a member of the church. Our relationship with other people, you know, generally, maybe with our neighbors. We are Christians. Huh? Neighbors are very important, you know, because they know we are Christians. If we have bad manner, they immediately come to a conclusion that Christians are very bad manner. So we have to pay attention. How we deal with them? Do people see that our behavior, our attitude, our manner of life is comparable to a Christian's? And also, another one is your attitude towards the state, negara, your behavior towards Singapore. You're a citizen of the country, right? Yeah. What is our attitude towards the country? Yeah. We have free choice. How do you choose your leader? And how do you relate or look at the elected leaders of the country? I'm not a Singaporean, so I'm not for your government in any sense. But you must think, this is my country. This is the government. My attitude toward the government, is it comparable to my calling or not as a Christian? So, the Apostle Paul saying, our conversation must be becometh of the gospel of Christ, must be suitable, yeah, for us as a Christians. So we want to check in every aspect, every area of our life. Do I live, yeah, as a Christian, as a believer with good testimony? This is first. This is very important. So, brothers, if you look at yourself now, from some of these areas I've mentioned, there might be more. You can go back, have some time to reflect. Do you think there are certain areas in my life that I know is not comparable to my calling? If you think in this area, my way is really not proper, I'm a Christian, I should not be like this. No. If while you're sitting there, then you listen to the message, and then the Holy Spirit help you, and you realize, yeah, in certain way, certain area of my life, is just not proper. I will be very ashamed if people who know that I'm a Christian come to know that in this area, my behavior, my conduct is like this. Then we must quickly, yeah, come to the Lord, seek for forgiveness, and say, help me to repent, help me to change. If we are Christians and we have come to a state that we are not willing to change, then we have stopped to grow. You know, if we have come to a condition in our life, we think, no, I'm not going to change. Yeah, this area is like this. I know it's not right. I know it's embarrassing and shameful even, but I stick with it. I will continue with that. I'm not going to leave it. I'm not going to change. Then you are not growing anymore. You have stopped growing. And maybe not only stop growing, but you are deteriorating. Your spiritual life is getting worse and worse if you do not willing to change after we have come to know what are the wrong areas in our life. The church must continue to change. Members of the church must be willing to change. That is the whole purpose of preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching is not just to transfer knowledge, to transfer information. That is simple. But the purpose of teaching and preaching in the church is to change life. And we must pray the Holy Spirit will give us the conviction and the desire and the will. I will change. I cannot continue like this. Our conversation must be cometh of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the thing the Apostle Paul told the Philippians. Your conversation, how is it now? Yeah. Your manner of life, your conduct, your behavior, is it proper or not? If you call yourself as a Christian. If we have the humility and the meekness, yes, I will change. You know, every one of us have the agreement, yes, I will change. Everyone have their area of weaknesses, area they are wrong, and everyone willing to change. Then the church will have people they are continue to change, continue to be transformed, and continue to grow. And the church will be very lively. Because the church are comprised of people that are growing, growing people. Not stagnant people, stagnant in sin. Yeah, stagnant in sin, that doesn't want to change, although we know there are so many things are wrong in our life. And this kind of people come to our church, come to the church. So, at the end, the church also will be stagnant. There's no life. People are not interested with spirituality, not interested with spiritual life, not interested with spiritual matters. Because why? what are right or not right, and we're not ready to change. What a pity, you know, what a pity. How pitiful if our church become like this, not willing to change. Our conversation not measured up to the gospel of Christ. The second part, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. What the Apostle Paul wants to hear about the Philippian people, what the Apostle Paul wants to hear about us in the church. He wants us to be steadfast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The second part is only made possible if our conversation is becometh of the gospel of Christ. It's only possible if we are a people that are growing, they are willing to forsake our sins, they are willing to be changed. If we are stagnant in our sin, if we continue to live in our sin, there is just no unity and no power to strive for the gospel. It's impossible. If our personal life is not right with God, there is just no possible that we will have the heart to go and tell other people about the gospel. Because we will find ourselves a hypocrite. How can we have the strength at the cheek to go and tell other people, you must come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must repent, and the Lord will change you. And knowing in our hearts that I myself am not willing to change, knowing that my conversation, my conduct is not comparable to the gospel, how can we ask people to come to believe and live as the disciple of the Christ? It's impossible. Even if we go, it's very hard for us to open the mouth. Even if we go want to give our tract, our hand is keep holding us back because we think, I am really not suitable to this kind of work. I'm a hypocrite. How can I tell people, but I myself am not willing to? And I have been a Christian for a while. How can I ask people to come and believe in God, knowing that I myself cannot follow God? So the Apostle Paul said first, your conversation must change first. Your conversation must be incomparable to the gospel first. Now, if this part has been properly managed, then he say, we people that have changed, people with life that are becomers of the gospel of Christ, we have one thing to do. That is a very important thing. You must stand fast. Stand fast means you don't move. Yeah. Stand fast in what? Stand fast in what you are and what you have. You are Christians. You have the gospel. You have the truth. You have to stand fast there. Don't move. Continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to believe the gospel and continue to believe the word. Continue that. Continue what you are doing. Stand fast there. Now, with one spirit, with one mind. In unity. Everyone have the same mind. Everyone have the same understanding. Everyone have the same desire. United in harmony to do one work. To strive together for the faith of the gospel. To strive together means to fight. To fight for the gospel. To work extremely hard for the gospel. To spare no effort for the progress of the gospel. The church, the whole people in the church must be united with one idea. We want the gospel to advance. And it means that we want to have more and more people to come to hear of the gospel and to believe in the gospel. Brethren, the Apostle Paul said we must have our conversation become of Christ. Then he is going to teach us a lot of things in our life. But this is the thing he mentioned first. You must be united to strive for the gospel. That in our mind, in the mind of every Christian, first and foremost, before other things we are going to do, the first and foremost thing we want to do is to go to bring the gospel to others. Everyone. Yeah. This is for every Christian in the church. No one is exempted. Nobody can think this is not my affair. I have nothing to do with this preaching of the gospel, this sharing of the gospel. This has nothing to do with me. Nobody can say that. Because Paul, yes, what Paul is talking about, the whole people, the whole congregation. So each and every one of us, we who say that I'm a Christian, firstly, you must live your life according to the gospel, comparable to the gospel. Secondly, you must go and do the work of evangelism. We have to stop thinking that the work of sharing the gospel is the work of the pastor. Must stop. How much can the pastor do? One person. Whereas the people in the world are in the multitudes. How can we accept a pastor or even a few elders or even some deacon in the church or even some Christian workers in your church and say these are the people that are tasked to go and share the gospel? We are the people only give offering. That's not right. Because there are so many people outside. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. And that person is not only need to hear one time, he need to hear many, many times. Before I came to church just now, I went to visit my auntie. She is 87. And we have shared the gospel to her many, many times. Many, many times. She is very close. But the heart has not yet believed. She told me, I stay with my daughter-in-law. And there's a tablet of the husband. Someone need to worship, right? On certain, the Buddhist midday, the Gonghutsu celebration. Somebody need to worship there. My daughter-in-law will go home to worship his father. So this one I need to stay and worship. If I stop, then my daughter-in-law will be very upset and angry because she cannot go home to worship her father and to worship at home, right? He say, I still have to maintain this tablet. Yeah, on certain weekday I still have to worship. And then she asked me, I want to become Christians. Can I become Christian and still doing that? I feel very sad. How I want to tell her, yes, you must become Christian. But I cannot say that. This is against the truth. A Christian cannot continue to ancestor worship. Cannot. How much I want her to say, yes, you want to believe, must quickly come and believe and baptize. But because she has the condition, I need to continue to do this ancestor worship. So I have to tell her, if that is the condition, that you cannot be baptized. But I feel very sad to say that, but I have to be sad. I tried to encourage her, you know. I think they were mine, you know. You believe. Don't touch that. If your daughter were in. But he said, I cannot do that. So no way. Have to wait. Everyone, we must go and share the gospel. Am I taking too much time already? I will finish. 5 minutes, we finish it. Okay? Now, I want to encourage you what you need to do. Because every one of us have to strive for the gospel. So, every one of you must come to pray. Must come to pray for the work of sharing the gospel. Come to prayer meeting and pray. Because we must be of one mind and one spirit. As a church, we must work together as one. So must come. Come to pray together. To do for the work of the gospel. Then, each one of you must go out and give out the invitation card, the gospel tract. I have one. This is yours, right? I got this from Pastor Equi some time ago. It's very good. No? Bring this, put inside your bag, you know, put in your car, put inside your home, your living home, and your hall. Put it everywhere. So when you have the opportunity, you can give. You go to a restaurant, after you pay, give to the cashier. You go to a grocery store, you buy something, give it to the shop attendants. Give to everyone that come in contact with you. Give. But this thing must be ready, because many a time want to give, but the invitation is not around. So you lost the opportunity. So keep this near with you, everywhere. This is mine, from Batam. Invitation and a few verses. I put in my pocket. Sometimes people get very interested and want to see what's inside the pocket. You are interested, I can give you. This is the simplest way of doing so-called tracting. You know? But you must do. Everyone must do. We have 45 or 50 people here, right? Every day give up one. Let's count 50. Everyone give up one every day. 1 week, we have 350. 1 month, we have 1,500 out. Gospel tract. Powerful or not? But year in, year out, we give up none. Year in, year out, no? We give up none. Because we are not in the habit of giving out the invitation and gospel tract. But what is so difficult to give up these things? What is so difficult? It's completely the most easiest thing to do. You know, if we cannot share the gospel, give this up, give this up, give this out to people. Invite them. And thirdly, when the church has gospel meeting, every one of us must go and bring a friend. You know, everyone must bring a friend. We have so many gospel meetings, you know, in our churches, right? But most of the time are the believers who come to attend the gospel meeting. Yeah. Maybe 80-90% who come are Christians. We ourselves come. Yeah, a few friends we bring along. But what is it so? That's why sometimes we are not so interested about gospel meeting, because we know it's we and we again come for the gospel meeting. Every one of us has so many circles of friends. Why don't we go everyone and bring at least one friend to come to attend the gospel meeting? So if there's 100 people there, 50 they are non-Christians. Then that is a true gospel meeting. Now the Apostle Paul say, we must be of one mind and one spirit. Do and strive for the gospel. Work hard, fight for the gospel. So this afternoon, there are mainly two things we speak about. And these two things, actually, we all know. It's a simple. We all know. We must live as a Christian, becometh of our calling. It means that our life must be comparable to our confession, to our profession as believer. Secondly, walk together. Go out and bring the gospel to others. Last minute. Blessed Hope is a new church, right? Have you ever thought where you start the church? For what? Where you start the church for what? Definitely not to have another worship so that you can have two worship on a Sunday, right? We start the church, I believe, because you and your pastor want to reach out to the thousands of people, to the so many people that do not have the gospel in Singapore. That's the reason we set up a church. That's the reason we want to live as a true Christians. Every church must go and strive for the gospel. But this is a new church. You have more reason to go out and share the gospel. Otherwise, there's no need to have another church. If you do not want to go and share the gospel, what is so wrong if you stay in your mother church? You must make a new church if you don't want to go share the gospel. Yeah, we have more reason than other church to go and strive for the gospel. Because for this reason, we set up this new church. So may the Lord help us, yeah, to live as the Lord has taught us in the gospel. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are people, we are sinful people. We've asked for thy forgiveness in the areas of our life that are not comparable to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, wash us and cleanse us with thy bloodshed on the cross. Give us the strength that we may live, we may change, that we may repent, so that we may say our conversation is truly in accordance to the gospel. Unite thy people, O Lord Jesus Christ. Give them the strength and the zeal that henceforth they will go out with the gospel tracts, with invitation, and to bring many people to come and to know thee and to be saved. Bless all the people that has come together. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.